Tonight we're just going to have an introduction to the letter to the first letter to the Thessalonian brethren from Paul. Basically, we want to go ahead and read just the first verse of 1 Thessalonians. The verse reads, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." A wonderful hope of we as Christians is the promise of the Lord's return. This was a promise given when Jesus ascended into heaven, as recorded in the first chapter of Acts. And it was a promise designed to motivate Christians to live holy and godly lives. How then should we live as we anticipate the Lord's return? This question, I believe, is addressed in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. We find in this letter that in every chapter there is a mention of the Lord's return. And we find practical instructions, things that we can put into practice ourselves for holy and godly living. First, let's notice from the first verse the author of the epistle and those who were with him. The author, of course, was the Apostle Paul. He was known formally as Saul of Tarsus, and he was a persecutor of the church. Paul called himself essentially one of the greatest sinners because of this persecution. But he became known through the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he became the author of half of the books that we have in our New Testament. We find also in this first verse that he was joined by Silvanus and Timotheus. Silvanus was also known as Silas. He was originally an emissary from the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. And the Bible identifies him as a prophet, one who exhorted the brethren in Antioch. He remained in Antioch and later became Paul's traveling companion on this missionary journey. He suffered mistreatment and imprisonment with Paul in Philippi when they were preaching there. And together with Paul, he established the church in Thessalonica. Timothy, also known as Timotheus, I'm sure we know about. He was a young disciple who traveled with Paul, and he's mentioned with Paul in many of his letters. And in fact, two of Paul's letters were addressed directly to Timothy. They had a very close relationship, almost as a father and son. Timothy suffered imprisonment himself, and we find, as Paul is writing this letter, or probably just before Paul writes this letter, Timothy had just returned from a trip to Thessalonica. We find reasoning for this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2, where Paul wrote, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." And so Timothy, while Paul was in Athens, was sent back to Macedonia, where Thessalonica was and where the brethren, the Thessalonians, were. And the reasoning was to comfort them and to establish them, to give them a firm foundation and to encourage them. And so we can see that Timothy was very instrumental in the establishment of this church. We continue on in verse 1 where it talks about who the recipients are of this letter. Paul wrote, "Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." The city of Thessalonica, where this congregation was established, was the capital and the largest city of the Roman province of Macedonia. Now, this is essentially the northern portion of Greece and a little bit beyond that of modern-day Greece. The bottom portion was called Achaia, or Achaia, depending on how you pronounce it. Now, this city of Thessalonica, not only was it the capital of a whole region in that time, but it was also located on one of the main roads at that time called the Ignatian Way. It was a major road from Rome, which was on the west side of the area, to all of the eastern provinces of Rome at that time. So it was the main land route for trade from Rome to Eastern Europe and Western Asia, and even beyond that, for that time period between Rome and its other provinces over there. And so we can see how this city served as a major center of trade and commerce. Today it's known as Thessaloniki, and was also formerly known as Salonika. At this time, as Paul and Silas and Timothy are traveling through, the main trade was the gospel of Jesus Christ, of course. We find the establishment of the church in Thessalonica recorded in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. I want to go ahead and read that, please. In Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So we see that on his second journey, Paul and his companions had just left Philippi and traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia. And then they arrived at Thessalonica, a place fertile for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul immediately located the synagogue, which was his custom, and used their Sabbath gathering as an opportunity for evangelism. For 3 weeks he reasoned with the Jews, converting some and a number of prominent Gentiles. But unbelieving Jews soon caused a disturbance, forcing Paul to leave. Despite such ominous beginnings, a strong church was established. It quickly gained a good reputation, as we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 8. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We find also from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 9 that it was mostly Gentiles that made up this church. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So the fact that Paul is writing to them and makes special mention of how they turned from idolatry to God shows us that the main makeup of this congregation was Gentiles at the time. Members included Jason, which we read about in Acts 17. And also, there's mention in Acts 20, verse 4, of one Aristarchus and also Secundus as brethren from Thessalonica. The reputation of this church, I think, is remarkable. But it's even more remarkable that the reputation of this church spread across even beyond the regions of Macedonia and Achaia when we consider how young it was. The young age of the church becomes apparent when we talk about the place and the date of the writing of this letter. First, the place that is probably where this letter was written from indicates that it was not written long after Paul's departure from Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, we can see that Paul had only been gone a short time. He said, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." So Paul really wanted to go back and visit the brethren at Thessalonica, and it had only been a short time, as he said, since he'd been there, but Satan was hindering him. Those Jews didn't want him back. So he sent Timothy while he was in Athens. When Paul was in Athens, he sent Timothy back, and now he had returned, and Paul wrote his letter. From Luke's record in Acts, it's also evident that Paul wrote this letter soon after arriving in Corinth on his second missionary journey. So, if we can imagine the area of Greece, and coming from Jerusalem, which is on the east side of Greece, and I'm not sure which direction to kind of show you here from my point of view. But on the east of Greece is the area of Judea. They come over by land over the top of essentially what looks like a ridge on a map and come into Macedonia. They come in first to Philippi and have a congregation there, and then they come to Thessalonica and start a congregation there. Then, after being kicked out of Thessalonica, they go south to Berea. And we know that there were a lot of brethren there in Berea, and that they were, the Bible says, more noble, the people there, than those in Thessalonica, because they actually didn't just take Paul's word for things, but also looked it up in the scriptures themselves. But after Berea, Paul went to Athens. And we know this, Athens, Greece. It's about in the middle of the peninsula, basically, that Greece is. So sort of in the middle part of Greece. And while he was there, he sent Timothy back. And then he went down to Corinth, which is basically at the bottom of the peninsula of Greece. And at that point, Timothy came back. And so this is where we believe it was written from, in Corinth. And the date, since it says and specifies that it was a short time after leaving Thessalonica, and soon after his arrival in Corinth, scholars tell us that this places the date somewhere around 50 or 52 AD, somewhere in there. Now, when we think about those dates, you know, that's probably not even 20 years after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this is in the church's infancy. But also, this is very soon after the church in Thessalonica was established. And this would make 1 Thessalonians one of Paul's earliest known writings that we have, if not the first. Finally, let's examine the purpose and content of the letter. The purpose, I believe, has to do with Paul being anxious and concerned about the condition of the church. You see, when he left Thessalonica, he left because of a huge uprising from the Jews there. And they essentially, he got kicked out. And it was such a great uprising that there were members of the church who were threatened with basically being taken to court, and maybe even thrown into prison. Fortunately, they were able to basically pay a bond and not have to go through all that. But that was the situation in Thessalonica. So we can imagine that he was anxious and concerned about the congregation there and how it was doing, since he had to abruptly depart. So he wanted to return, but was hindered, as he said, by Satan. His anxiety probably prompted him to send Timothy to encourage him, since he couldn't come back himself, being a well-known person surrounding this gospel that was turning the world upside down. He was able, though, to send Timothy back to encourage them. And we find that Timothy brought back good news. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 8. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, in that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. This passage is amazing to me because of all the persecution that they suffered while they were there. Paul says just the fact that Timothy was able to come back and give them a good report of how their faith and their love had grown, and that they were able to be encouraged, was an encouragement to him. Their faith and love, and also their desire to see Paul again, was good news to Paul. Their steadfastness in the faith comforted Paul. From the content of the letter, it becomes apparent that Paul had a threefold purpose in mind when he wrote it. One, to praise them for their steadfastness under the persecution that they were enduring. Two, to instruct them concerning holy living. And three, to correct any misunderstanding, especially regarding the second coming of Christ. Again, we found that this letter, at the end of every chapter, has a reference to the second coming of Christ. So this was something that was weighing heavily on Paul's mind at the time, and something maybe that Timothy had told him was weighing heavily on their mind as well. And as we get into the letter, I'm sure we'll see some of the things that our brethren were thinking about at the time as well, surrounding the second coming of Christ. A brief outline of the letter could be that in chapters 1 through the end of 3, essentially, are Paul's reflections on their condition and the gospel in regards to that. His conduct while he was there with them, talking about that, and his concern about them, especially surrounding the persecution that they were enduring. And then chapters 4 and 5, he gives them instructions on how to walk in holiness, how to walk in love, how to walk with diligence, how to walk in hope, how to walk in the light, and how to walk in obedience. So with such an emphasis on steadfastness and holy living, an appropriate theme for this letter might be holiness in view of the coming Christ. And in keeping with such a theme, we'd like to offer the following passage as the key verses of the letter. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. As we continue through this letter in its study, it's our prayer and aim that this study will lead to greater faithfulness and holiness in our service to God as we wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The final part of verse 1, chapter 1, says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This grace and peace is something that can only be found from God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something I'm sure that we would all want to avail ourselves of and want to make sure that we are continuing to be able to access this grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if there is anyone here tonight, brother or sister, who needs the prayers of the saints, needs help from us in any way, prayer on your behalf to God, then we ask you to come forward while we stand and sing.